Radio Prague News.
The election of the chairman of the lower house has been postponed until next week. Italy has opened its labor market to citizens of the Czech Republic, and a new report by the European Railway Agency finds that Czech rails meet EU safety standards. The Social Democrats have withdrawn the candidacy of Member of Parliament Lubomir Zaoralek for the post of Lower House Chairman, as Mr. Zaoralek was the only nominee for the post. The election, originally scheduled for Friday, has been postponed until late next week. The Social Democrats say that they withdrew their candidate because they were not able to secure enough support for Mr. Zaoralek prior to the vote. Meanwhile, the two largest Czech political parties, the Civic Democrats and the Social Democrats, continue to try and negotiate a way out of the parliamentary deadlock. The Social Democrats, who came second in last month's election, have agreed to meet next week with coalition partners, the Civic Democrats, the Christian Democrats, and the Greens, to discuss policy priorities. Talks on the formation of a new government have been going on for some 6 weeks, since a national election resulted in a perfect split in the lower house of the Czech Parliament. The European Commission announced in Brussels on Friday that Italy has opened its labor market to citizens of the newest EU member states, including the Czech Republic. Italy is the second country in quick succession to open its labor markets to citizens of the new EU member countries. Denmark also relaxed its requirements on July the 1st of this year. Meanwhile, the closest neighbors of the Czech Republic, Germany and Austria, have not opened their labor markets to Czech citizens. Czechs can work without restrictions in Ireland, Sweden, the United Kingdom, Portugal, Greece, Spain, Italy, and Iceland. According to a report by the European Railway Agency released on Friday, the safety of Czech railways meets the standards of other European countries. The results are a marked improvement over 2004, when the Czech Republic recorded many more railway accidents and ranked only 11th out of 23 monitored EU member states. Although the Czech Republic's overall safety rating has improved, there remain a high number of suicides at railway crossings. In 2005, railway accidents claimed 254 lives, and another 251 people were injured, these mostly the result of automobile drivers who failed to observe traffic regulations at crossings. And finally, a look at the weather. Meteorologists are warning that the tropical heat wave in the Czech Republic will continue until the end of July. Sunny skies and daytime highs up to 33 degrees Celsius are expected into the weekend, and thunderstorms have also been forecast for Friday and Saturday. I'm Linda Mashtalit, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Pavla Horáková. Coming up today, the police president on the ropes after being caught speeding. Demand for alcohol-free beer is on the rise. And A Great Escape, the story of two men who crossed the Iron Curtain hanging from an electric cable. And in the arts today, a photographer whose works fetch thousands of euros, even though he took all his photographs using a homemade camera. We have all this, plus a roundup of this week's business news. Please stay tuned. There's been a noticeable improvement in driving standards in the 3 weeks since the introduction of a controversial points system, with most drivers showing far more respect for the rules of the road, most noticeably the speed limit. Unfortunately, the head of the Czech police force, Vladislav Husák, is not among them. Mr. Husák has surrendered his driving license after being caught by a newspaper doing 190 kilometers per hour on a motorway. Rob Cameron has more.
Police President Vladislav Husák was among the first to praise the point system when it came into force on July the 1st. Not long afterwards, he gave an interview to the newspaper Mladá Fronta Dnes, saying the situation on Czech roads had dramatically improved. However, he also expressed concern that Czech drivers would soon revert to their bad habits, chief among them speeding. How those words have returned to haunt him. This week, reporters from Lara Frontatenes followed him on his daily commute to work. Or more accurately, they tried to follow him. On two occasions, said the paper, he sped away from them on the motorway at speeds approaching 190 kilometers per hour. The speed limit is 130. We asked people in the centre of Prague what they thought of Mr. Husák's driving.
It was pretty stupid on his part. That's what I think. Shouldn't be doing that in the first place. If he's, I don't really know, he's a chief, so he's in charge of enforcing that law. That's not right. I guess he would, you know, he should be punished by the law, whatever the law is.
Well, I think that, well, that it is a typical example of what shouldn't be happening. That, and it is quite a lot of arrogancy in his behavior, so I think it's really bad.
I already heard that he said that he will stop driving for 3 months, and I think that even that he's on the cover page of newspapers, Mladá Fronta is a big punishment for him.
If Mr. Husák had been caught by the police and not a newspaper, his 20-minute drive to work would have cost him his license and a year-long ban. He would also have been fined 20,000 crowns. Instead, in an attempt at damage limitation, he has voluntarily surrendered his license for 3 months and will donate 10,000 crowns to charity. So is that enough? Miroslav Firsht from the leading Czech motoring organization UAMK.
The laws should be or must be obeyed by all, regardless of their positions or their social status. The same applies to the president of the police. On the other hand, I considered this, let's say, self-critical stance that he took as quite a positive thing. I would say this is not very common in Czech Republic or has not been common in Czech Republic by any public authorities.
Mr. Husák's boss, Interior Minister František Bublan, says there are no grounds to punish the police chief, saying a couple of photos in a newspaper did not count as evidence. A curious answer, seeing as Mr. Husák has publicly admitted doing wrong. But with politicians distracted by more pressing matters, it seems Vladislav Husák will escape this incident unscathed.
That report by Rob Cameron. And the new transport law is also tougher when it comes to punishments for drunk drivers. Although officially alcohol behind the wheel was not allowed before either, police often found their hands tied when it came to enforcing the law. Czechs are known to be a nation of beer lovers, and with the tough new law in place, they seem to be turning towards alcohol-free varieties of beer. In July, several Czech breweries have reported increased orders. Earlier today, I spoke to the chairman of the Czech Brewing Association, Jan Veselý, about the trend in the production of alcohol-free beer.
Non-alcohol beer is the fastest growing segment in our demand in our country. And it's even stronger, this trend, now from the 1st of July when the new legislation is in power. We expect that increase from year to year could be about 50% in absolute figures. It means within 3 years we could almost triple the output and demand of non-alcoholic beer in our country.
And do you think that the new traffic regulations are the only reason why demand is increasing?
First of all, I must say that we can hardly now measure the influence of new legislation because it's too short. But still, there is a trend that takes more than 4 years, which is reflected by some annual increase of 20, 15, 25% from year to year of consumption of non-alcoholic beer. I think it's because of changing of living habits. We work more, we have more drive the cars, and so on and so on. But I think this trend will be even stronger by this legislation, because as far as I understand, our people are very pragmatic, and facing that new legislation and loving beer, they will for sure try to seek to find some middle of the road. Having beer but not drinking alcohol, it means drinking non-alcoholic beer.
You mentioned that Czechs love beer. Now, is there a wide variety of alcohol-free beers on the Czech market? Can people choose from a wide variety?
Yeah, this is a very significant also change within, I would say, last 10 years. Quality of non-alcoholic beer dramatically increased. It's much better, incomparably better than before. And now is in the 15 brands of non-alcoholic beers produced in the country, three brands imported of non-alcoholic beers, and some two, three breweries are about to start production of non-alcoholic beer in this year. So in the end of this year, we will have about 20 brands, including imported brands.
And that was Jan Veselý of the Czech Brewing Association. And now, as every Friday, it's time for a weekly roundup of Czech business news here on Radio Prague. And for that, I'm joined by Ian Willoughby.
Thanks, Pavla. Vodafone, the smallest of the Czech Republic's three mobile phone operators, has halted plans to launch a UMTS, or third-generation network, because the return on its investment would be too low, a spokesperson said this week. The company paid almost $100 million for the license and was going to launch 3G services in 2008. It appears, however, that Vodafone won't return the license. It's keeping open the option of using it at some time in the future.
Meanwhile, the Czech Telecoms Office is considering allowing a fourth mobile operator to enter the Czech market, its chairman Pavel Dvořák told reporters this week. He said, however, that a fourth player would be unlikely to succeed as the market is so highly saturated. At present, Telefónica O2, T-Mobile and Vodafone have 11.5 million customers between them, that in a country with a population of 10 million.
Zdeněk Bakala, a Czech financier turned coal baron, plans to seek a listing for his company OKD on the London and Paris stock exchanges from the start of next year, the Financial Times reported. The listing would be the culmination of an extensive two-year restructuring of OKD, the Czech Republic's biggest black coal mining company. Mr. Bakala is pursuing acquisitions across Central and Eastern Europe as he attempts to build an international coal empire.
Prague's Ruzyně Airport has run into difficulties with plans to build a new runway after a change to the zoning map allowing for its construction was struck down in court this week. The court ruled that Prague City Hall didn't take into account all the objections of residents and did not conduct an environmental impact assessment. For their part, the airport's management said the new runway would greatly reduce traffic on an auxiliary runway, reducing noise in an area inhabited by 150,000 people. Noise would increase over a less densely populated area, it said.
And finally, some Czech banks have begun opening cashless branches in an effort to combat the problem of hold-ups, Hospodářské noviny reported this week. Between them, Poštovní spořitelna and Komerční banka have launched nearly 30 outlets where money can neither be deposited nor withdrawn. Other banks have reduced the amount customers can withdraw on the spot. Last year, there were 182 reported robberies of banks and post offices, considerably higher than the 34 recorded 3 years previously.
And Ian Willoughby stays in the studio for the following report. This week marks the 20th anniversary of one of the most dramatic escapes from communist Czechoslovakia, when two men crossed the border into Austria on homemade chairs hanging from electrical power lines. Ian Willoughby has the remarkable story.
Well, it certainly is quite a story, Pavla. Robert Ospald was a 35-year-old forest worker in 1986, while Zdeněk Pohl worked on the railways. The two friends had tried to escape to Yugoslavia via Hungary a year previously, but were informed on, caught, and had their passports confiscated. Ospald then had the idea of using cross-border high-tension lines to escape, and the two set about constructing a kind of chair that could be suspended from the upper wires, which are safe since they act as a lightning rod and carry no current. They lied, cheated, and purloined to get materials for two chairs, even stealing parts from trains during the night, Paul recalled several years later. After a few attempts were thwarted due to technical difficulties, the two men set off on foot from Znojmo in South Moravia for the Austrian border on the night of July 18, 1986. Oswald and Paul climbed the 180 feet tall pylon and attached their chairs to the electric cable. Pulling themselves along the wire by hand, it took them 5 hours to cover just 300 metres above the Iron Curtain. There was a violent electrical storm that night, which they welcomed. Oswald, now 55, told Tiden magazine the noise helpfully covered any sound they might make. When they got down, they walked for half an hour before finding themselves in a vineyard with signs in German. They were in the Austrian village of Kleinhaugsdorf, and they were free. The Czechoslovak authorities learnt of the dramatic escape was when the two men's faces were splashed across the international media. Robert Aspald got political asylum in Austria in 1988, before eventually becoming a citizen of the country where he lives to this day. He keeps one of the two chairs they used in his flat. The other is in the Berlin Wall Museum. Zdeněk Pohl, who now uses the first name Frank, emigrated to the United States. Both men have published books about their experience, one of the most spectacular escapes of the whole Cold War era.
My thanks to Ian Willoughby for that report. You are listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for the arts, this time with Jarka Halková.
The photographer Miroslav Tichý became known in the Czech Republic only recently, after he achieved major success abroad. His unusual photographs have been exhibited in galleries in London, New York, Zurich, and although they are of very poor technical quality, visitors and critics are impressed. The photographs are now sold for up to 10,000 euros. Nearly 80 years old, Tichý is regarded as a real eccentric by his neighbors in Kyiv, a small Moravian town. His work reflects his obsession with the female body. But while other photographers ask women to pose and use the best equipment and store photographs with a big care, Tichý did the opposite. He used to hide in bushes and take pictures of unaware women and girls with his homemade cameras. Once developed, they were thrown away, and Tichý didn't care about them anymore.
Jsou to velmi pečlivá pozorování kyjovských žen.
They are all very careful observations of women from Kyiv and of everyday trivial activities. But soon you realize that these trivial situations, such as someone sitting on a bench, women waiting for a bus, someone taking off a t-shirt at a swimming pool, are somehow extraordinary. Tichý managed to give this banality a feeling of exceptionality and rarity. Just part of a female body in his pictures can look very esoteric. There are so many magazines that offer much more nudity than Tichý, but his photographs are different. A woman's tights between a knee and a skirt or a swimming costume look somehow mysterious in his pictures.
Sukinkou nebo plavkami je najednou takové jako tajemné.
Says Radek Horáček, the director of the Brno House of Art, which is currently running an exhibition of Tichý's photographs.
To je jako když nějaký zamilovaný šesťák si někde uloupil.
It's like when an 11-year-old boy falls in love, steals a photograph of his classmate and cherishes it in his notebook. Tichý even sketched on it, drew frames with a pen or a pencil. Some of the photographs were taken from TV, some were just thrown here and there. Some romantics say that there are even traces of mice nibbling at pictures in the unbelievable mess.
In the 1940s, Tichý studied at Academy of Fine Art in Prague, but after the communist takeover in 1948, he dropped out of the school and returned to Moravia. The solitary artist started with paintings, figurative drawings, and settled with photography, sticking to his main motif, women. Back in the 60s, he used to make about 90 pictures a day. Unnoticed and unknown, he behaved like a voyeur, trying to capture a precious moment. When I was a little boy, my grandmother used to tell me, "Wash your hands, otherwise you are going to be like Mirek Tichý." For my grandmother, he was a forbidding example. For me, he has always been a magnet, says Roman Buchsbaum, the person who introduced the name Tichý to the world. The photographer's friend from childhood emigrated to Switzerland with his parents. When he, after many years, returned to his birthplace, he discovered the photographs and started exhibiting them abroad.
Dnes je spousta umělců, kteří se věnují fotografii, a spousta z nich fotí těmi nejmodernější.
These days there are plenty of artists who take photographs. They have the most modern digital equipment and the best computer software. They all try to make their pictures look crude. They want something like a document of a reality. But can you believe a 30-year-old university graduate? Does he really know what's crude? It's simply impossible, especially in comparison to Miroslav Tichý.
Nějaké ženské nahoty nebo nějakých ženských kroků po kyjovských ulicích.
Says Radek Horáček. The exhibition in Brno has created a lot of interest, especially among locals. Some of them come hoping that they will recognize one of the many women and girls captured in the photographs. Others come to see what has made that strange old alcoholic man so famous. The photographs are puzzling. They are not focused, not well developed, and damaged by weather and careless handling. They were never meant to be exhibited, and even now Miroslav Tichý objects to the success and fame. He carefully chooses the people he talks to and shares his opinions with. He has described exhibitions as a waste of time and says this world is nothing more than a double sheet.
He must have made such a bad pictures to be the best photographer. You cannot do good photographs to be the best one, but you have to do the worst ones to be the best one.
Pavel Vanča, the author of a monograph about Miroslav Tichý, paraphrases the photographer's own words about his approach and continues with his opinion.
I think these pictures have really the special atmosphere of the time when they were made. They have a special magic of work which has totally arisen from one man's endeavor. They are really something like a thumbstone to a very special life. It might influence a lot of people. On the other hand, he's quite standing aside of any movement, of any group of photographers, artists, and it's really a solitary person, so many people might like it and many people do like it, but I quite doubt that there will be something like a Tichý-esque school or something like that.
To find out more information about the exhibition, visit www.dumb.cz.
And the Arts with Jarka Halková has brought us to the end of today's broadcast. You can tune in again tomorrow or visit our website at www.radio.cz, where you'll find all our programs, both in sound and text. The address for your questions and comments is english@radio.cz or Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. From me, Pavla Horáková, and everyone here in the sunny and hot Czech capital, thanks for listening and have a very good weekend.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, onde courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. six heures vingt-sept, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.